is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the Macworld Conference in San Francisco. I'm with Rob Hoffman and Rob McGuire of Autodesk. So I'm going to start with Rob McGuire, and let's talk about where you're headed on mobile platforms.
So Autodesk is definitely trying to, you know, pioneer as much as we can on mobile platforms, specifically the iPad, the iPhone, a lot of interesting development. Our first effort's actually kind of centered around our product called Sketchbook Mobile. We had a desktop application called Sketchbook Pro, our first kind of foray into the iPhone arena. We got a lot of great response from that. We had over 2 million downloads of this application, which is a very simple sort of raster drawing, but it's also, you know, professional grade artistry sort of tool. Got Apple's attention, and we actually worked with them to be one of the first apps on the iPad when it came out last year. You know, I've had great success there as well. And more recently, actually, with the Mac App Store that came out earlier this month, you know, we had a showing of the Sketchbook Pro on that platform as well. Got a lot of great attention, even from some strange patrons like Oprah. So there's a special version of Sketchbook Pro O, which is available free of charge and is featured in the February issue of O Magazine, which is kind of interesting. She's encouraging her patrons to be sort of creative and upload their drawing straight to Oprah.com. And then, you know, that was kind of our experimentation app. You know, it's like we're still trying to figure out the mobile space as much as we can. But the other sort of big news, after that sort of blazed the trail, AutoCAD for Mac and AutoCAD WS came out this year, which was kind of our next sort of foray into that. AutoCAD WS is a web-based application as well as an iPad and an iPhone viewing application. You can load your DWGs up on the cloud and take them with you wherever you go, even download cached copies of them, make simple revisions, edits, and kind of stuff. And then you can bring it round trip all the way back into AutoCAD for Mac, which launched last October. So we had a fairly significant effort to try and bring the whole application over to the Mac platform, given so much interest in the architecture and industrial design segments that are currently on the Mac. And, you know, Autodesk and AutoCAD specifically really haven't played in that market so much. You know, media and entertainment products have been there for quite a while.
One of the first applications that was touted for OS X was, of course, Maya. Steve Jobs went on stage and talked all about the fact that you're moving over to this new application. Moving AutoCAD to the Mac space erases that barrier that architects have faced in being forced to use a PC for a lot of their AutoCAD work and then maybe a Mac for everything else.
Absolutely. You know, we have a lot of our customers use AutoCAD for Windows in some sort of virtual environment, be it Parallels or VMware or Bootcamp itself or something like that. And there's a lot of dissatisfaction with that switching back and forth, even though it is a fully supported platform. But I think what most Mac customers were really looking for is a true kind of native experience, you know, something that does the cover flows and the spotlight and seamlessly integrate with the dock and, you know, just the whole look and feel of what a Mac application would be, which really meant that we had to kind of rewrite AutoCAD from the ground up to really have that kind of native OS X experience. So this was a significant undertaking. AutoCAD is, you know, 14 million lines of code and 1,700 commands and system variables and stuff like that. So, you know, given that we've been on Windows only for like the last 15 years, we had a lot of Windowsisms kind of creep into the code base that all had to be extracted. And, you know, Maya definitely helped kind of clear the way a little bit, but, you know, AutoCAD was kind of lagging behind, and it was a significant effort to kind of rip all that stuff out and create the true sort of OS X native application.
10 years ago, we wouldn't have been having this conversation because the Mac was still not taken seriously in that regard. Has their market share grown to the point where this is a profitable venture for Autodesk?
Absolutely. It's, you know, their profitability as well as some of the technology doors have opened. You know, once we drop from the PowerPC architecture to the Intel architecture, sort of increased focus on graphics hardware as well as, you know, OS X itself, a Unix-based application, a lot of those made it a lot easier to port AutoCAD, whereas in 10 years ago, that would not have been possible. We would have had to rewrite even more stuff, which would not have made it feasible. So kind of the combination of the technological viability as well as the business opportunity really kind of motivated us to pull the trigger.
Do you play well with GPUs and take advantage of the power they offer?
Absolutely. You know, AutoCAD is both a 2D and a 3D design application with surface modeling and NURBS and procedural surfaces and stuff like that. And all of our 3D work is directly hardware accelerated. So we have to use all the OpenGL stuff and play nice with all the drivers and all the available video cards. And in applications and Macs, in versions of Mac hardware where sufficient graphics hardware is not available, we unfortunately can't run because we are so dependent upon it.
Is it brand specific?
Absolutely not. We're a generic OpenGL implementation, you know, and we, you know, have been working with Apple and NVIDIA and ATI as much as we can to try and increase the performance through the pipeline.
In practice, what do you think most users will be utilizing, the iPad or an iPhone type platform?
Definitely a combination of both. The market for us is really on the desktops and laptops, where people will do most of their drawing, authoring. However, you know, most architects, you know, certainly don't stay in their room all the time and have to go out to the field and do survey work. And rather than taking a big tube full of drawings, you know, they can take their iPad out there and zoom into a particular location, do a revision, do some as-built updates, you know, anything that is sort of part of the natural architecture workflow on site in the field. That comes back into the cloud, comes back into the desktop application. You know, keeping those drawings up to date is really the workflow that we see.
Once it's on your servers, then how does it talk to or correlate the differences on your desktop?
So there's tools available in both AutoCAD for Windows and AutoCAD for Mac to synchronize the files between your desktop version, the cloud version, as well as the iPad and iPhone version, depending upon how many devices you have. So there's kind of timestamp synchronicity to keep one version of the truth up in the cloud, and everything gets updated.
We're going to switch to Rob Hoffman. Rob, you have some new products just released, right?
That is correct. Our development team has been extremely busy over the last year. We've just announced new releases of Maya, 3ds Max, Softimage, Motion Builder, and Mudbox, all the new 2012 releases. In addition to that, new Entertainment Creation Suites, as well as Entertainment Creation Suite Premium products, all new 2012 releases. Some of the really exciting news, you know, we'll kind of focus on really around Maya and Mudbox, being that they are the Mac native products within the 3D portfolio. What we've done with these particular releases is that we've really focused on really increasing the performance and productivity when using the software. With Maya, we've got Viewport 2.0, which really allows artists to have a much better representation of what their file or what their scene is going to look like before ever going to render. So things like gamma correction, depth of field, motion blur, and so on are able to be seen in real time within the viewport as the artist is manipulating the scene. The whole idea is to really make the software more of an extension of, you know, the artist, as opposed to a barrier between them and the work that they're trying to complete. In addition to that, obviously performance, you know, that's key, making sure that we're leveraging the latest and greatest, you know, offerings, you know, within the operating systems that are out there, as well as taking advantage of multi-core workstations, so a lot of threading work as well as taking advantage of the latest technology offerings from either NVIDIA or ATI. On top of that, it's all really about just allowing the artist to be able to work through their projects much faster, making the tools much easier to work with, and just allowing the artist to be able to, you know, really focus more on the art as opposed to having to figure out the technical aspects of their craft.
Do you have a minimum spec for the GPUs in order to take advantage of them?
Not exactly. I mean, the GPUs, I mean, obviously, the bigger, the better, the faster, the latest ones that are available. Obviously, you know, the artists are going to reap the biggest rewards from having the latest and greatest technology. You know, with each and every release of hardware, as it happens with software, there are improvements and performance increases. So with the latest and greatest, you'll always get a much bigger performance bump.
And you have some announcements in the Windows and Linux space, right?
That is correct. We have new releases of Softimage, 3ds Max, as well as Motion Builder, all 2012 releases, as well as our Entertainment Creation Suites and Entertainment Creation Suites Premium products. So it's been a lot of work across the board, and also a lot of these products have the exact same theme as what is taking place for both Maya and Motion Builder, which is really about allowing the artist to be able to be more productive in the work. It's really about having more of a modern pipeline. Unfortunately, artists are being asked to deliver more content, more complex content than ever before, you know, being asked to deliver it in less time, and in many cases, the budgets are even less. So there's this fundamental chasm between, you know, what's being asked of the artist and ultimately the resources at hand. So we've done a lot of work to really try to bridge that gap between, you know, expectations and actual resources at hand.
In the past, I've talked with Jason Brinford-Jones, better known as Chinny, about Softimage. And it's always amazed me that you have these two very distinct camps of followers that are really Softimage-centric and Maya-centric. And are you starting to see a little bit of a crossover there?
Actually, yes. One of the really interesting things is that with the 2012 releases across 3DS Max, Maya, Softimage, Motion Builder, and Mudbox, we now have single-step workflows, which basically allow artists with, you know, one single step to be able to transfer data back and forth between the packages. The important thing about this is that in many productions today, artists are cross-trained, so they're using Softimage side-by-side with 3DS Max or with Maya or with Motion Builder or with Mudbox, and it's really important to be able to move the data from, you know, tool to tool as efficiently as possible. So, you know, we've done a lot of work on that front, and a lot of artists, you know, a lot of production facilities are looking at Softimage, you know, whether it's Face Robot or all the work that's gone into ICE. And they're really seeing that as a huge benefit to be able to supplement the work that can be done with their existing production pipelines.
Now that you've ported AutoCAD over the Mac, any chance of seeing Softimage on the Mac platform?
Well, I mean, we don't have any announcements to that today, but, you know, obviously the Mac market is extremely important for us, and it's something that, you know, we're looking very closely at. Obviously, we've taken, you know, taken the proper steps for both Maya and for Mudbox, but it's definitely something that, you know, we're always, you know, exploring for all the other products, you know, talking to customers, seeing what that interest would be, and then also, you know, seeing what it would take internally to be able to do the work, and whether or not that would have an impact on the overall product as a whole. So, you know, anything is possible, but no announcements as of today.
We're seeing a lot of people in the education sphere not using Final Cut Pro anymore for animation. They're just sticking with an Adobe pipeline. So it seems it would make sense to try and stick with an Autodesk pipeline wherever possible on the same platform.
Absolutely. I mean, we've done a lot of work, you know, to try and make the products interop with one another is, you know, as seamlessly as possible. Obviously, that's going to be an ongoing process, you know, for the foreseeable future. I mean, it's something that just has to happen. And one of the interesting things right now is that on the education front, we have basically free software for students where they can go to autodesk.com, download education version of the software free of charge, and it can either be 3DS Max, Maya, Softimage, Motion Builder, or Mudbox. So it's really, you know, about giving the artists, you know, the up-and-coming artists, you know, the access to the tools of the trade that they can go ahead and learn and be able to apply, hopefully, to a job at some time in the future.
How does Smoke fit into this workflow?
Well, Smoke is a finishing product, obviously from our creative finishing group, and it's really complementary from the standpoint that we've got, you know, complementary workflows between, you know, both Maya as well as Mudbox into Smoke. You know, different types of assets, cameras, lighting, and so on can be migrated, you know, into Smoke. And it really makes a lot of sense because you can, you know, do your modeling, do your animation work, and integrate it into live action footage. So it's really, you know, a really good complement between the two products.
Rob McGuire, where can our listeners find out more information about your new offerings as well as the education and student tools?
So those of you who are interested in AutoCAD for Mac can go to www.autodesk.com/AutoCAD for Mac. You can learn about the product, what it does, and who it's for, and all that kind of good stuff. And then students can go to students.autodesk.com, where you can download a free version of the product that will run for 36 months free of charge. So any student with a .edu email address is fair game to download the product, AutoCAD for Mac, as well as most of our other products available.
Rob Hoffman, you have another website.
I've got a couple of them for you here. For those interested in the Smoke product for Mac, it's simply www.autodesk.com/smoke4Mac. Spelled out F-O-R, not the number. And for the media and entertainment 3D products, it's just www.autodesk.com/whatever the name of the product might be, whether it be 3DS Max, Maya, or Softimage. Or if you just want to see the entire portfolio, it's autodesk.com/media and entertainment.
It's been a pleasure talking with you today. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks a lot.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Fuller.
You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.maceditionradio.com. The contents are copyright 2010 and may not be used without written permission.